Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Restitution Department here at Car Talk Plaza. And now that I've said that, I have no idea what it means. What does this mean? The Restitution Department.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. You can't make this stuff up. A few weeks ago, it was our son Louis' birthday. He's our older son.
Oh, that story.
And we decided, and Louis has a couple of kids and, you know, and a wife and in-laws, and we decided all of us were going to go out to dinner, and we picked a place that we thought would be tolerant of the kids and the noise that we make and all that. And so we show up at this place in his hometown.
Which we won't mention.
Burlington? No, we won't. No. Anyway, as we were going in, I grabbed the waiter. Turns out we had two waiters for our table. I don't know why. I think they were trainees training each other.
Ah.
And I said, is there any way we can get a birthday cake with a candle or two on it?
Oh, that's it. You're going there for his birthday, and you don't think of the cake until you get there.
Well, I had a lot of other stuff on my mind.
Yeah, right.
You know, so this fellow says, oh, yeah, don't worry. He said, would a chocolate cake be all right? I said, yeah, sure, that'd be fine. I said, you know, even if you can put one candle on it, that would be great. Well, we finish our meal. It was a wonderful meal, and the kids, the little guys, were starting to get kind of antsy, and they were throwing stuff at each other and, you know, spilling water at the table. And I motioned to the waiter, one of the waiters, that it was time for the cake. So sure enough, he shows up, and you can see him coming a mile away with this cake, which must have had like 100 candles on it. The thing is ablaze, and it's a pretty good-sized cake. And he puts it down on the table, and Louis is sitting at the other end of the table. But I can see that there's writing on the cake. And I kind of stand up, and I look at it, and it says, Happy Birthday, Grammy. And I said, huh, that's funny. Well, Lou doesn't waste any time. He blows out those 100 candles, and he starts cutting the cake, and he gives everyone a piece. And we finished the cake, and it was quite good. And but I was concerned that it was... You know, said Happy Birthday, Grammy, but I figured these guys know maybe somebody left the cake there and didn't use it. And when he asked, would a chocolate cake be all right? I assumed that that's what they had in mind, giving us this cake that had been left there.
Sure.
And as we were about to leave, we noticed the table next to us, which had a similarly large group, was singing Happy Birthday to somebody. Happy Birthday. You know, I wasn't really paying attention.
They have a cake too?
Well, no. So, and I got to tell you, it must have been the wine that was working on me. I had a glass of wine, and as we were leaving, my wife and I were the last ones out, and I say to these folks, oh, did someone at this table have a birthday too? And I hear, yes. An older woman says, yes. I said, oh, was it your birthday? She says, yes, it was. And she's got a long face. And she said, someone at your table had a birthday, right? I said, well, yeah, my son, we celebrated his birthday today. Did he have a cake? Yeah, he did. Did it say Happy Birthday Grammy on it? And I said, as a matter of fact, it did. And at this point, nothing had sunk in. And I said, well, what about you? Did you have a cake? No, I didn't. And one of the other people at her table asks, well, how was that cake that you had? And my wife says, oh, my God, it was delicious. It was one of those chocolate mousse cakes. And we leave, and we get to the front door, and Monique says, boy, they had the longest faces of any group.
It should be happy birthday, happy day.
And when we got out to the parking lot, of course, we realized that we had eaten Grammy's cake. Some family member had undoubtedly gone through great pains to probably make that cake.
Yeah.
And inscribe it with Happy Birthday, Grammy. And we wolfed it down like a pack of wild dogs.
And you were innocent. So the only ones to be blamed are the people.
The two waiters.
In the restaurant.
I don't know how they could have screwed this up. But we sang Happy Birthday and looked at that cake that said Happy Birthday, Grammy. And nobody batted an eyelash and thought it could have belonged to anybody else. So Grammy, if you're out there. I'm really sorry. We really are. But the cake was delicious. No, we'll make it. If there's any way that group can get in touch with us and verify their authenticity, we will make it up in any way.
You owe them something.
You think so?
Although,
yeah, you know,
were,
really,
if
you
they
know
were that
really
mad
hurt,
about it.
Well, no, they were mad. What must have really hurt was when they asked how the cake was. And my wife said, oh, it was delicious. Well, look, if Granny contacts us, we'll figure something out, I suppose. Anyway, if you have a problem with your car or your missing birthday cake, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Oh, you're
Happy
on cards.
Happy birthday to Grandma.
Grammy.
Grammy.
Hello, who's there?
Yes, hello. My name is Gwen, and I'm calling from Largo, Maryland.
You have such a calm voice, Gwen. Are you a nurse or a psychotherapist or something?
Well, no, not actually. Sometimes I feel like
probably
it,
just a long-suffering wife.
Well, long-suffering. Not a wife, but long-suffering.
Well, you weren't a drill sergeant in the Army. We know that.
We know that. So what's up?
Well, I have a very wonderful little 1988 Nissan Sentra, and she's been and remains a really great car. Has about 185,000 miles on her.
Wow.
She's wonderful, except when it rains.
Mm.
Then I can't get her to turn over.
All right, let's get the terminology straight here. When you say it won't turn over,
mm-hmm.
what you really mean is that it cranks but it won't start, or it doesn't crank? When you turn the key, does it go...
Exactly.
That's turning over. It does turn over, but it doesn't stop.
It doesn't run.
Exactly.
Okay. And does it run at all? Does it think about it? Does it pop and gasp and belch?
Sometimes it does. In fact, every now and then I'll see a little poof of smoke.
Yeah. It's trying. It's saying, Gwen, I'm doing my best.
So you've taken it to your local Largo.
Key Largo.
Key Largo. repair shop.
I would bet that Gwen hasn't taken it anywhere.
How did you know? Well, actually.
Because you sound like a cheapskate, Gwen. No. You didn't take it anywhere, really?
I do take it in regularly for oil and lubrication, all of that.
Yeah.
But because she's old, I'm kind of concerned about just taking her anywhere. I wanted to at least get an idea of what I might expect when I take it in.
Oh, I see. So you're not averse to fixing it, but you're afraid that they're going to charge you more than the car is worth.
And she doesn't want to find out what else might be wrong, and she's afraid it might be something terrible.
For example, if we were to tell you that without a doubt, in our opinion, what's wrong with this is going to cost you $1,100, then you wouldn't go anywhere.
Well, right.
Right.
You dumped this lousy car even though you claimed to love it. Yeah, okay.
Here's what you got to do. Do you have any houseplants?
Yes.
Do you have a mister?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
You're going to open the hood,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to notice that there are, facing you, four spark plug wires.
Okay.
Okay, and there's one connected to each of the spark plugs.
Okay.
You are going to wet these down with your mister.
Oh.
And you may find out when you do that the car doesn't start, or it starts with difficulty.
Right, okay.
And that would let you know that the wires are bad, which is what I think is wrong with it.
Oh, okay.
And if that doesn't work, you can go further with the water and wet down the distributor cap. And between soaking the plug wires or soaking the cap, you're going to get this thing not to start.
Okay.
And then you can go, and then you can have it fixed.
Then she's not going to go anywhere because it won't start.
All right. In 3 days when it dries 3 out.
3 days later you'll go, assuming it doesn't rain. But then you'll know that you need spark plug wires, and you might even need a distributor cap.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that so much. I know several other people who have the same situation, and I drew the lucky straw to call.
Oh,
cool.
Good for you. You have a bunch of friends who are cheapskates then.
Yeah. We have a support group, so.
Yeah, it helps.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for calling, Gwen.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's
Happy
888.
Birthday,
stop already. I already feel guilty enough. Well, cake was good, though. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is James Fishelson calling from New Iberia, Louisiana.
Hi, James.
New Iberia?
New Iberia, Louisiana. I'm not from there. It's in southwestern Louisiana near Lafayette. They got a great boudin, and I'm here for crawfish season, so I'm all excited.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I happen to be a fan of the crawfish myself. And the great thing about those is you can never gain weight while you're eating crawfish because you have to eat them so slowly. Anyway, James, what's going on?
All right. Well, I'm in the middle of a road trip in my 1938 Dodge business coupe. Started out in Long Island, got down to Key West, and now I'm working my way to Alaska. And I'm hoping you can settle a debate between me and my dad on the proper speed to drive the car.
Well, it's interesting you should be driving a business coupe because you're not doing any business.
That is a very valid
This is leisure.
I'm doing a little bit of riding and photo stuff, but yeah, mostly it's been a good time.
Yeah.
So that's the one that has
a big trunk.
It has the big, giant trunk. Yeah, you can, like, fit a few dead bodies in there or a bed or whatever you want.
Right. So
you want to know how fast should you be going?
Mm-hmm. I don't look at the speedometer that much. I try to drive the car to the speed that the car feels comfortable. So, you know, it's not shaking at all. It's just moving. It's puttering along nicely.
And that's 50 miles an hour.
That's usually 50 miles an hour, especially when I'm on county highways and stuff.
Yeah.
However, occasionally when it's really nice weather, and especially after I've been driving it for consecutive days and the roads are really flat and empty, I have found myself going a little bit faster, as high as 65.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I told my dad that I had been going 65, he nearly had a heart attack.
Is this his car?
It's our car together. It's a family thing.
Did he pay for it?
He did pay for it. It's his car.
It's his car.
Does he get the repair bills when you break down in Los Alamos, New Mexico?
I haven't broken down yet. I've had a few little problems, but I've been able to get myself running up again.
Okay.
Well, he's right about 65, and I think that 50 is the right speed for this car.
Okay.
I mean, to occasionally do 65 is okay.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd make
it. Passing a semi and you had to go 65 for a second or two, fine.
But I would abide by the dictum of Tom Magliozzi, who has.
Really? I've heard of him. A brilliant man, I understand. He's dead, though, isn't he?
No, but it can be arranged. Tommy has a 52 MG, and when he got it, he decided that he couldn't drive on roads that weren't in existence when the car was made.
Ah.
Isn't that a wonderful idea?
Yeah, see, because this car was never, ever made to be driven on Route 95 or Route 93,
yeah.
Because you've got almost all the other cars out there are bigger than you, and then you've got all the trucks and whatnot, and everyone's driving at 75 or 80 miles an hour, and you can't keep up with them.
No.
Not to mention the fact that you don't have any of the safety equipment. You're at a huge disadvantage. You don't have a seatbelt, airbag.
I had a seatbelt put in.
Shoulder harness or just a lap
Yeah,
belt?
Shoulder harness.
Oh, good.
And, of course, you wear a football helmet when you drive. But obviously you don't have the kinds of safety things. Even the cheapest car that's on the road today has, you know, disc brakes, anti-lock brakes, electronic stability control. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and you have none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if you drove on the interstate, you'd have to be very careful to maintain a speed that you felt was safe, which means, for the most part, driving in the right-hand lane.
Which is all I've stuck to so far.
Sure, and that's fine.
Yeah, so why did you embark on this odyssey with this car? I mean, what is it about this car? I mean,
well, you know, it's been a long family. It's kind of become a big family car. My dad had the exact same car when he was 16, and he went to Hershey, picked up two, and tried to cannibalize one to get the other one running.
Ah.
But he ran into some police problems when he was 16. I think he finally got a part in. It might have been the radiator or the
He was stealing parts, and he got arrested.
Not quite.
I mean, who would do such a thing?
I think back then you didn't have to steal them. You just had to find it. Everything was pretty cheap.
Oh, I see.
Right.
But so he finally got it running, and then he wanted to take a celebratory loop around the neighborhood in Valley Stream North. So all the neighbors were excited because the car had finally started after 6 months. They had set out toilet paper finish lines for him. Unfortunately, there was a police officer at one of the corners who gave him about 24 tickets. Without a license, without registration, driving without a body on the car, anything you can imagine he got.
Okay. Picky.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to Alaska, should you get there?
Yes.
And something breaks down, how long you figure it's going to take to get a part up there?
Well, you know, I'm, of course, traveling with some parts.
Here's the trailer hooked up to the
nothing that major. Like, you know, I'm traveling with an extra fuel pump and stuff like that.
Of course.
I found, though, some parts, there's like two guys where you can get these from. So either if you call them up and they have it, you're great. And
yeah.
If they don't have it, you're absolutely screwed.
But you're prepared to spend the winter in Alaska.
Or maybe the rest of your life.
Well, I wish you the very, very best, James.
Well, thank you so much. My dad's going to be very happy to hear that he was right.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Enjoy your
so
trip and drive slowly. I can't impress upon you enough how important it is to drive slowly. This thing has lousy brakes, too. They may be tip-top, but they can't hold a candle to the brakes of modern cars. So you've got to keep a good distance between you and the other people and make sure that at the slightest sign of anything going wrong with the brakes, you get it checked because you don't have a dual braking system either.
Yeah, so if they go,
the whole shebang goes.
Yeah.
Just give us a clue as to how old you are.
I just graduated from college, so 23.
This is the time of you're having the time of your life, I can tell.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, thank you so much, guys.
And if you need help because you're looking for crazy people to help you, my son will help you.
Oh, great.
He's a little older than you. He's already wrecked 3 cars.
See you, James.
See you. Have a great day, guys.
Bye-bye.
It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Well, they weren't my cars.
I had to pay for all those cars.
Hey, you know, I know this is hopeless, but I've got to ask. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Did it have to do with 3 clams in a martini bar?
No, that was the joke that Dad told us. was no puzzler last week, but
there wasn't.
Do have some very interesting things to discuss when we come back.
And I take it that will be in just a minute?
You'll take it correctly. We'll be right back.
Colorado, in the morning I saw the sunrise through my windshield, and the mountains look so pretty as they sucked the life out of your brakes. And you blame me for driving too slow, and I blamed you for not downshifting. And we argued, but we kept traveling the first of many more mistakes.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and I believe my brother has, like, mail to read. You have mail?
Well, it is mail. A couple of weeks ago, you may remember, we asked people to send us stories of road trips that had gone wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The road trip from hell or something we called it. And I have one. I wouldn't say this is a winner, but I have one from Tom Martinez, who sends it, and his summer vacation story, what I did this summer. I could sum up this little adventure in one phrase. 1977 MG Midget. But here it is anyway. I left Los Angeles in July of 1979 with my girlfriend, the MG Midget, and a lot of naivete.
Wait, is the girlfriend the MG Midget? Or...
No. We were headed for Yosemite. Going up the Cajon Pass, is that what it's called? C-A-J-O-N?
Cajon.
The Cajon. Going up the Cajon Pass, the car boiled over, so we stopped and let it simmer down.
It's like from Cajones, you know.
I was afraid of that. As soon as we hit Victorville, the accelerator cable let go. I found a foreign parts store, and the only cable...
Not to be confused with Cajones.
Will you stop interrupting me? I found a foreign parts store, and the only cable I had was for a Spitfire, and it barely worked. We made it up Tioga Pass, sputtering all the way. I hit a deer at the summit. Broke both headlights. It was dark, so we slept by the side of the road. The next morning, we got to Yosemite Valley and promptly lost the clutch. I tried unsuccessfully for 2 days to fix it. That night, bears ate all our food. This guy is having a great time, isn't he? The next day, a stranger suggested that I drive the car without the clutch. I didn't know how, so he taught me the finer points, speed shifting, etc. The next morning, we loaded up and headed out toward Merced, grinding the gears on twisting mountain roads. We made it to Merced in time for a rainstorm, of course, the roof leaked. The fuel pump gave out in Salinas. We had it fixed in Monterey. It cost a fortune. We made it down to Bakersfield when the water pump went.
But fortunately, Paul Drake was waiting for them in Bakersfield.
We finally puttered into the San Fernando Valley, and what happened? The throttle cable broke again. Boy, this guy, this is serious business. And he blames it on the MG.
Now, I'll tell you one
thing. Which could be true.
If he had had, for example, a Toyota Corolla with which to make this trip.
Uneventful.
Nothing would have gone wrong.
Absolutely.
And he'd have forgotten it by now.
Exactly.
It would have been just another trip Yosemite Park. Mm-hmm. And he's probably taken many.
Yeah. And this is the one he remembers.
It's memorable.
Exactly right.
It was like the time I borrowed your truck and the exhaust system fell off and all those things happened.
I'm never going to lend you a vehicle of mine again.
You don't own a vehicle I'd want to borrow. Oh, maybe that's your rationale.
That's my strategy from now on.
Anyway, if you've got a tale about a road trip that went horribly awry. Ari. Email it to us through our website, cartalk.com. Right now, if you have a current tale of automotive woe and or slash intrigue, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Tim from Cincinnati.
Hey, Tim. What's happening?
Well, I got a problem with my 1995 Honda Civic. It's a beautiful little car. I love it dearly. But I need it to last me 8 more years, and on the road it's going, I'm not sure it's going to make it.
How many more years?
8.
8.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
It's a Honda. Come on.
All right.
We should be able to do it.
We shall do our best.
Okay. I just moved from Columbus, Ohio, down to Cincinnati. Before I moved, I did most of my driving on the highway. Now that I'm in Cincinnati, I live close enough to where I work and go to school that I do mostly city driving. And in that, my engine sort of developed a funny noise to it. And try as I might, I can't replicate the noise, but it sounds sort of... Have you ever picked up a little refrigerator?
Yeah, and the noise I heard was, oh, my back!
Well, if you ever do that, you hear the compressor shaking in the back, sort of a hollow kind of rattling noise.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly the noise. It's the compressor springs.
Right.
The compressor is on this motor mount thing, kind of, so that the vibration doesn't get transmitted to the floor of your dorm room.
Right, exactly.
Thereby keeping the rest of the students awake all night.
Well, that's the noise that's coming from my engine.
Right, it's going to gong.
Exactly.
Gong.
And it's coming all the time?
Well, only if I'm accelerating at low speeds, going from, you know, 0 just up to 25, where I'm not in any hurry to get there.
Do you have a tachometer?
No.
Oh, you got the cheap model, huh?
No, wait, I do have a tachometer. You're wrong. I'm wrong.
All right. We're wrong enough, usually. So you have a tachometer. I bet you'll notice that it always happens at the same RPM, or very close. So there's a range. It might happen between 24 and 2600 RPM, for example. And beyond that, you don't get it, and below it, you don't get it.
Because it's a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Yes. And what it is...
It's saying, Tim... I can sympathize with you.
We're sorry you had to move to Cincinnati. No, I think what's vibrating is something called a heat shield.
Okay.
And heat shield vibrations come in many sizes and colors and whatnot. And your description was interesting because that is one of the ways, one of the sounds that loose heat shields make, that kind of a springy sound.
Does the space shuttle make that? Because it has
heat shields, yeah. It's only when the tiles fall off. So you need to take it to a gas station and have them put it on the lift and bring it up to whatever RPM it takes to get it to make the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll hear it. And Standing underneath the car, they'll hear it.
They'll hear it, and they'll either secure the thing or weld it or remove it or whatever.
Or put some gum on it.
Yeah. But that's it. If that's the only problem you have in the next 8 years, you'll be
very
lucky.
You're all set, man.
Okay.
Take care, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Colleen. I'm calling from Lombard, Illinois.
Colleen. Yes.
Lombard, Illinois.
Lilac capital of the world.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
Well, maybe not of the world.
For 2 weeks of
you
the
made
year.
It up,
exactly.
Didn't you?
Yeah, lilacs are great, but...
They're kind of short-lived.
I mean, 2 weeks, come on.
Unfortunately, almost every year we have a lilac festival and we have a parade and everything, and the lilacs the last few years have died before the actual parade.
Well, I know that we have them in our yard, and usually you have to dig them out of the snow to see them. Because it's there's snow on the ground.
That's a bad thing.
Ah, well. Yeah, anyway, Colleen, what can we do?
Well, here's I don't know what you can do. I'm not really sure if this question is about my dad's car or about my dad.
Oh.
So,
you know,
So here's the deal. I called the other day and I say, listen, you guys want to go to the show? He's 80. My mom's 75. And he said, yeah, that's fine, but I have to drive. And I said, well, why is that? And he says, well, because I just got a new pair of brakes. And I said, well, what does that have to do with anything? And he said, well, for the first 500 miles, I'm the only person that can drive the car, number one. He tells me this. I said, well, who told you that? Well, my mechanic told me that. I said, well, what's the other reason? He said, well, you have to vary your speed for the first 500 miles from between 35 miles an hour, 50, 45, whatever. Hmm. And I said, well, says who? He says, my mechanic. And I said, Dad, where are you driving like this? He says, on 59. Is right outside of his house. It's 50 miles an hour there. And so he's going 35, 50, 40, 30. He's on 59. So I'm like, Dad, one of two things is going to happen. A, you're going to get killed, or you're going to kill somebody else.
Oh, someone's going to kill you.
that was option B at the very least. You're going to really honk off a lot of people. Plus, I don't believe that that's true.
Who's his mechanic?
Yeah, I think maybe he was just trying to get him to leave the shop. So he said, you know, my dad's trying to talk him into it. So basically, I should drive the car only, right? And the guy's going, yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
We frequently do that with my brother.
Okay, so the issues are, A, if you get new brakes, should one person only drive the car?
Yeah, and it's a 98 Chevy Lumina, in case you care.
Doesn't matter. We knew that.
Okay.
B, do you have to vary the speed that you drive at if you get new brakes? And C, how are we going to break this to Dad?
Well, I mean, to be fair to Dad and his mechanic, modern brakes do require a break-in.
Break-in,
period. Okay, but that's usually accomplished by the guy who put the brakes in. And frequently we will put new brakes on a car, and we'll take it out, and the first few stops are not very good. And the brakes do require a wearing-in period because these new fangled metallic brakes do require that they seat into the disc rotors, especially if the rotors have been machined. They have to kind of find a home. And the braking effectiveness is improved as the brakes wear in.
But this happens very fast. And first of all, to describe it in terms of miles doesn't make any sense. Because what if he got into his car and drove 500 miles without stopping?
Yeah. And usually this break-in period is accomplished when we take a car out. By the time we've test-driven it for 10 or 15 minutes, the brakes have sufficiently broken in. And if they haven't, then there's something wrong. You know, so the idea that 500 miles and one driver has to do it is insane. I think, Colleen, he doesn't like the way you drive.
No, actually, he told me it would be fine after the 500 miles.
I don't think so. There'll be another excuse. I mean, don't forget, you could have driven over there and taken them in your car.
No, I have a pickup. So, and it's an extended pickup, but it will only fit two people comfortably.
Oh, were they the ones who suggested the pickup?
No.
Because that would preclude your driving, wouldn't it?
It would.
I think that it goes. I think Dad made the whole thing up.
You think it goes deeper than that?
I think it goes real deep, and you drive stinko. Yeah. And they want to keep you away from the car when they're in it, at least.
And they're in it, right.
In any event, if you went to the movie that night, then the brakes are already broken in.
All right, well, thank you, guys.
All right, Colleen.
Colleen, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
1-888.
It's got to be her driving.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm
She's going to be a wacko.
Yeah.
Like Lucille, our sister Lucille. Whenever someone has to go someplace, Lucille will say, oh, I'll drive. Oh, no.
No, that's all right. Even though she's got the only car that carries a lot of people, we went out and bought a little bus. Just so she wouldn't say, well, everyone will fit in my car. We say, I don't know. We'll be much more comfortable in the school bus.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
She says, can I drive the school bus?
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Peter from Boston.
Boston?
Boston, Mass?
Actually, Dorchester.
Dorch! What part of Dorch?
Do you know Dorchester?
Fields Corner.
You're classic then. Let's see. I'm in Lower Mills.
Lower Mills, not far away.
No.
Not far away.
Very good.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, I'm calling because I have a 1994 Explorer, Ford Explorer, that is doing some pretty crazy stuff.
It isn't doing any backflips or anything.
No.
Okay. No. All right.
Blue smoke is kind of puffing out of my car when I start it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting transmission fluid in it because it seemed like it was slipping a little bit. And I couldn't see any leaks or anything. But the strange thing is that I noticed that my oil was getting higher and higher and higher. And I know it sounds totally crazy, but when I changed my oil, it completely overflowed. You know, like there was 10 quarts in there.
Yeah, because you were adding the transmission fluid to the oil, to the engine oil.
It seems like it, but somebody told me that was totally impossible.
No. Oh, you kidding me? We do it all the time.
Wait, how did you add the, where did you add the transmission fluid?
Well, I didn't put it in the crankcase.
I don't, hey, maybe you did. Maybe you did. You wouldn't be the first one that's done it.
No, I put the tranny where the tranny fluid goes, you know, and the oil in the crankcase.
You pulled out the dipstick for the tranny.
Yep.
And you put a funnel in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good. This could be good.
I've put a lot of transmission fluid in this car. It's disappeared.
Well, geez, I mean, if you put a lot of transmission fluid in, you don't have a leak. I mean, there's no way really for the transmission to burn it. So if it ain't leaking out and you're adding more, but the level isn't going up, but the oil level's going up.
I have a solution. I have an answer to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
You got two problems, man. The transmission cooler line is leaking into.
No, you
can't stick with me on this.
No, don't even go there. Don't even go there.
It's leaking into the radiator.
Yeah.
And he's got a cracked block.
Oh, he might as well
head gasket.
Peter, fall on your sword, man. Life as you know it is over.
Actually, yeah. I can tell you that I did just notice something. So you might, you know, I think you might be close here, although somebody told me this wasn't the case. I looked in the radiator overflow.
And it's red.
And it was all brown. And I said, that's it. It's coming in my radiator. And some mechanic said, no, that's rust.
Well, it could be rust.
But it could be that the orange ethylene glycol and the red transmission fluid have turned, the leaves have turned to brown.
Oh, I don't like it.
I mean,
I don't like it.
See,
let me go back and ask you another question. You say you add transmission fluid to this thing all the time. Do you ever add engine oil?
Oh, yeah. Well, I change the oil.
But no, but between changes.
No.
But you say it's blowing smoke out the back. You blew smoke out the tailpipe?
Well, it does it two times. One, when you start it, you get a puff of smoke.
And when you accelerate it?
If you happen to accelerate it rapidly.
Right.
I have stopped traffic with this car.
You have like 128,000 miles on this thing?
About. Yeah, 130.
Yeah, well, I think you need a ring job. And I think, number one. And I think a couple of times when you weren't thinking right, Peter.
No.
You put that funnel in the
didn't.
No way.
Come on, Peter has been putting automatic transmission fluid in vehicles for 20 years.
Exactly.
He knows where to put it.
Yeah. Pete.
What?
We'll give us your address.
Are you in Lower Mills right now?
I am.
Can you drive over here?
Can you be here in half an hour?
Can you be here in half an
10
hour?
10 minutes.
Yeah, we want to see this. We want to see this hole that you're putting the transmission oil in. And you're going to say, what a dope I am.
Is this a new radiator or is this like ripping the engine apart?
Well, if my brother has a remote chance of being right, you need to have someone do a head gasket test. When that test comes out negative, then you got to go back to square one. But my feeling is occasionally you've put it in the wrong thing, and especially if you're not adding oil to it, the oil level goes up and up and up. Have you called Exxon? They may want to talk to you.
Or call OPEC. They might want to talk to you too.
Oh, I don't know, Peter.
Peter, but drive over here. I want to look.
All right, we'll talk. See ya.
Thank you.
I mean, it isn't often that we can say drive over here. It's only fair that we should have him come over here because
the offer's open to anyone.
It's open to
calling
anyone.
From Cincinnati, drive over. Okay, it's time for a few words from our local stations.
And what might those words be?
How about mid-season replacement? How's that sound?
That's what I was afraid of. We're going to be right back, maybe.
And I remember the time you bought a Cadillac. 3 days later, yeah,
brought it back. Said it just didn't have that same feel as his imperial automobile. Should have seen him smile as he drove it on home. His pride was shining just like all that chrome. Frank's imperial coming through in a deep blue dream. Frank's imperial, the finest car you ever see.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, "Are we missing our idiot?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a puzzler suggestion.
I have a puzzler suggestion.
Oh, I don't think I want your puzzler suggestion.
Well, I suggest you take the puzzler and take
That's what I thought you were going to suggest. No, as you know, I've often asked our listeners to send in puzzlers that I might be able to use someday. And over the years, I've used and obfuscated many of them.
Yes, you have.
But here's one written by a guy named Alan that I'm not sure I can even obfuscate properly. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
100 prisoners are each locked in a room with 3 pirates, one of whom will walk the plank in the morning. Each prisoner has 10 bottles of wine, one of which has been poisoned, and each pirate has 12 coins, one of which is counterfeit and weighs either more or less than a genuine coin. You with me so far?
No.
In the room is a single switch, which the prisoner may either leave as it is or flip. Before being led into the rooms, the prisoners are all made to wear either a red hat or a blue hat. They can see all the other prisoners' hats, but not their own. Meanwhile, a 6-digit prime number of monkeys multiply until their digits reverse, then all have to get across a river using a canoe that can hold at most 2 monkeys at a time, but half the monkeys always lie and the other half always tell the truth. Given that the nth prisoner knows that one of the monkeys doesn't know that a pirate doesn't know the product of 2 numbers between 1 and 100 without knowing that the n plus 1th prisoner has flipped a switch in his room, or not, after having determined which bottle of wine was poisoned and what color his hat is, what is the solution to this puzzler?
I think you forgot the mangles.
I think that pretty much is a synopsis of every puzzle that I've used in the last 28 years.
Yeah, you could just take pieces of that.
And I think he just left out the mangoes. I don't know how he did that. Well, look, if you've got a car question, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. I think my feelings are hurt, but I'm not sure. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Josh. I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure I've actually got a problem per se, but that's why I'm calling. You can judge either way.
Okay. We'll give you one.
All right. So what we're working with here is a 1998 Chevy Metro. I've been driving this thing for about a year now, and I love it. It gets great mileage. It's a commuter car. It's 3 cylinders. You know.
Yes.
1 liter engine.
Do we know?
This is one of Tommy's favorite.
One
cars.
One of my favorite cars, man.
It's great. So what I've got, though, is I've lost 4th gear. It's a standard transmission.
Oh. Yeah.
So I've got no 4th gear. It was a gradual thing. It went out. I'm not too upset about it because I've got plenty of other gears to choose from.
Well, it's a 5-speed.
It's got 5th.
Right. So what I'm doing is shifting straight from 3rd to 5th.
That's fine.
And 5th to 3rd.
Yeah, that's a problem that a lot of these things had. I don't know why.
Because the 4th gear, I think, was made out of cardboard. we're not sure, but it may have been.
So forget about that. That's not a problem.
Oh, really? Great. Because I was kind of worried it might maybe have something to do some gradual damage to the drivetrain.
I would recommend that you drain out the transmission because you may find a lot of pieces in there, metal pieces that used to be the gear and the synchronizer.
Yeah, fourth gear.
Yeah, it used to be 4th gear. And it would be nice to get them out of there so they don't circulate around and wreak havoc on the gears that are still working.
Well, for what it's worth, that sounds like more trouble than I'm willing to put in.
No. It's something that you could have done at Quickie Lube.
Oh, yeah.
That's easy.
Are you still doing oil changes, or have you given up on the oil change?
Oh, no, I do my own oil changes. That's fine. What does it take, like 3 quarts, you know? So
Yeah.
No big deal.
How many miles on this thing?
It's got about 160,000.
And you drive this around on, you're on like Route 35 with this thing?
Oh, yeah, I'm driving up and down the freeways, no problem. I've just changed my driving style. But the interesting thing is, since I've lost 4th gear, my gas mileage has shot up about 5 miles per gallon to 40 to 45.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because when you would otherwise be in fourth, you're now in fifth.
Right. So that's why I thought I wouldn't even bother to fix it. And besides that, I'm saving money on speeding tickets, too. So.
Yeah,
well,
right.
It's interesting. Europeans have long done this. I mean, they if you watch most Europeans drive, they will start off in first gear, and they will run right up through the gears and get into high gear
as fast as they
possibly can.
Just to keep it down low, huh?
Just to keep the engine RPMs low. And the only restriction is that you don't want to shift up so fast that you make the engine lug. For example, if you were trying to climb a big hill.
That's the problem I run into sometimes.
So. Yeah, then stay in third, and you're all set.
Okay.
But you're right to get the thing into fifth gear as soon as you can, whether fourth was working or not. You've learned something interesting here.
Yeah, okay. So
that
we
worked.
Get... Okay. That's the first problem. Next.
Well, that was it. Yeah, I just need to know if it's a problem. Well, besides
that's
that,
it?
I mean, yeah, I've had other problems. But
well, you're
nothing,
in Fat City here,
major.
Man.
Well, I've got a backup if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
A backup question?
No, of course. You got to have a backup question.
Right. It's a law.
Right.
What is your backup question?
So I've got a Honda Accord. It's a 2001. And on this vehicle, I've had the brakes done countless times, and the rotors just keep wearing out, and I get that shutter on the brake pedal.
Uh-huh.
I kept thinking maybe it was the guy that was doing my brakes. I'm like, okay, I'll go somewhere else, and it happens again, and it's just never ending. So.
This is a car that you drive frequently?
Well, this one less frequently.
How often?
Well, this is maybe once or twice a week. When I'm not commuting with the Metro, I'll take it on road trips.
Well, I'm guessing that you have either a faulty vacuum booster, power booster, which or faulty master cylinder, which is causing the brakes to stay on when they shouldn't be. Not on completely, not like you had your foot planted on the pedal.
Dragging.
But on enough to it would be akin to your resting your foot on the brake pedal.
Yeah, that sounds likely because I know when I took them off or when I had brought it in one time, they said it looked like it had been pretty hot.
Uh-huh.
It's like the rotor had been just scorched.
And a faulty booster can do that or a faulty brake master cylinder. Or someone resting his foot on the brake pedal, which we know you don't do.
No, definitely. Certainly not.
No. But I would, and it's possible that both of the calipers are sticky, but if the condition overheating is equal on both calipers, then it's unlikely that they're both at fault. It's something further up line, and the booster is the most likely candidate.
Excellent.
Good luck,
That's
man.
Been bugging me for a long time, so yeah. Thanks for the help, guys.
All right. See you, Josh.
Bye.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. I didn't mention that I used to live in San Antonio before they moved the Alamo.
I was with you when they moved it.
No.
We tried putting it back.
No, they had moved it before. When I first lived there, it was way out of town, and then they moved it to
downtown.
And then you and I tried to move it back. That's when
those
Texas Rangers didn't take too kindly to us.
We actually put a rope.
Yeah, we're lucky we didn't
Never
get
mind.
Shot.
We are lucky.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
People think we're joking.
227.
Well,
825.
We have pictures.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Wendy in Rochester, New York.
Hi, Wendy. What's cooking?
Hi. Okay, this is not a mechanical problem.
Uh-huh. Good. It's a boyfriend?
No, it's a crush. It's a serious crush,
a crush
that's becoming an obsession. It's a car crush.
You have a crush on a car.
And I've never had a car crush before. I've always been very rational. I drive a 1999 Toyota Sienna.
Yeah.
I'm like the proverbial suburban soccer mom.
Oh.
I have two boys, and we decided to go to a car show just for fun. And there were lots and lots of cool cars there that we sat in, and then the three of us all got in this one car, and our jaws just dropped. And
really?
Was, yes.
So you and the two boys.
Yes. My husband did not go.
And how old are the boys?
11 and almost 9.
See, I was going to say the smart car, but you wouldn't have fit.
No.
We like that car, too.
Yeah.
Car is not a smart car.
Oh, no. This is the antithesis of the smart car. It's going to be an H3 Hummer.
It's a Jeep Liberty.
Oh, a Jeep Liberty.
Oh, my God. It had the sliding retractable roof.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat in it. And we just looked at each other and said,
wow.
"We have to have this."
What did that car say to you when you got in there?
Fun.
Bingo.
Yep.
It said fun, but I know I read Consumer Reports, I read Motor Trend.
Uh-huh.
It's not a Toyota. It's not reliable, but I think I'm having a midlife crisis, or as my kids say, a midlife Chrysler.
Well, you are. You could be having a midlife.
I want to drive across my neighbor's lawns. You know, I mean, I don't need four-wheel drive, but when I see this car, I just want to
do everything.
Look, whenever anyone has two boys this close in age,
yeah,
they're right on the verge of flipping out anyway.
I mean,
you've been on the verge of flipping out, I would say, for about 9 years now.
Yeah, you are. You know what? You're right on the money, but I don't know what to do because it's getting very
yeah, it's getting close,
serious.
Huh? Yeah. Have you considered North Dakota?
Oh, brother.
Yeah, geez.
So what do you want us to do? We're on your side.
I want you to
talk you out of, talk you down off the ledge.
I want you to talk me down because here's the deal. The Sienna is almost paid off.
Yeah.
The deal was to drive it into the ground, not have a car payment, save up for braces and college and the like.
Yeah.
And right now we went for a test drive. I'm almost driving into a ditch when I'm driving to work because I see a Jeep and I start staring at the person in there to see if they're having fun. Or, you know,
you notice their big grins on their faces?
Well, they look pretty normal, but then when I talk to Jeep drivers, I realize it's a cult.
Yeah. Well, it is. I tell you, you may have heard a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, I mentioned our friend Rich Aleo, who has four Jeeps. I think he has two Cherokees and two Wranglers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
he's nuts, and we know that.
He's nuts. Yeah, he is nuts. So he's got his wife driving one and his daughter's driving one.
Okay.
And he's totally bought into the adventure notion of it.
Right.
He said, every time I get into this thing, it feels like I'm going on a safari. I'm going on an adventure. I'm doing something that's fun. And he said, you know, if the roof leaks, it just adds to the adventure. It's something else to conquer.
No, he still feels that way, or did that wear off?
No,
he's there.
No, I think they're putting something in his water. But whatever they're doing, he has bought into it. And I say to him, Rich, I said, these things handle terribly. They're noisy.
Yeah.
Says, I know all that.
Okay.
He said, but I'm going to go out and buy another one when this one wears out.
Yeah.
You know, so I want you to be prepared, Wendy,
yeah,
that this may be the beginning of the end for you. You may go tomorrow, buy the Jeep, get
right,
your hair dyed purple the next day, all hell to break loose.
You know what I think part of the problem is, too? I don't know if you've seen the commercial for the Liberty where the guy's driving down the road and the sky roof opens and the squirrel.
Yes, of course.
I think it's subliminal seduction.
You think?
Yes.
You think, huh?
I do.
Of course it is.
I didn't think I could fall for that, but as I'm sitting in the Jeep, I thought, that squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
The guy singing Rock Me Gently.
And rock me, I don't know, gently, rock
yeah,
me slowly. Oh, yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
Her train jumped the track, I think, Frank.
Well, my kids told me, Mom, this was the clincher. You're too cool to drive a minivan.
Yeah, there you go.
And they were working me.
Yeah, well, you know, here's an idea, and I don't know if you can pull this off, but
all right,
what if you rented one of these for a couple of weeks?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that way, it might be an opportunity. Here's
okay,
the problem. Your kids, you know, are going to love it.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, but you have to be the one that loves it.
Okay.
And you have to decide if you like. Doesn't handle great. Doesn't
right,
handle as good as your Sienna.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as quiet, not as comfortable, nowhere near as roomy.
Right.
You know, so it's got a lot of shortcomings, but it is a lot of fun. And you may, she's giggling, she's buying it. You may decide when all is done,
uh-huh,
you may know that it's the car for you or not the car for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be able to determine that even with a test drive with the dealer. But I would say if you could drive one of these for a week or so,
mm-hmm,
and drive it every day.
You're a genius.
You know, and then you make a determination.
And
okay,
Wendy, one other thing. The week before you leave your husband, give me a call.
Okay, I've got the number.
Okay, what a deal.
Wendy, have fun, and it just shows you
yeah,
the power of advertising.
Yeah.
Doesn't it, though?
And the power of two children that want to have fun.
Oh, no, I got a funny feeling that the kids, while they may have been a factor,
mm-hmm,
were not the main determinant here.
Mm.
It was you.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're right.
Oh, it was you, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, when you get the thing, let us know how you love it.
Thank you so much.
And there's
much,
nothing, by the way.
I'm getting it, right?
We know that.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's nothing better than being in love with your car. I mean, nothing better, but you know, it's a wonderful thing to be in love with your car
thing, because
you'll take care of it and you'll nurture it and you'll pass it on to your, you know, your kids, and it'll be more fun to drive because you'll have a connection with it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people hate their cars; they kick the doors closed.
Right.
They have a disparaging name for the car. Not you. Do you have a name picked out, by the way?
Yes.
What is it?
Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death.
Wendy, you need the head shrinker's coach.
Give me a liberty or give me death. I love it.
All right. Send us a photo with you and the kids in it.
I will.
See you, Wendy.
Okay.
They're getting wackier and wackier, and I thought she was great.
I can only imagine what her kids are going to be like.
Give me liberty or give me... Would you have thought of that? Not me.
Not in a million years. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive. Pumpkin Lips, Not a Slave to Fashion, Bongo Boy, Cute, 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 Senor El Gringo Berman. What about Frogman? Do we have any there, too? Our associate producers are Louis Crona, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Turnbridge Wells, Baked Stuffed Shells, Fresh Chanterelles, Nonpareils, Caramels, Warm Pizzelles, and Canned Hormels Taste Better Than It Smells, Long Supper Spells, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's memory coach is you, Sherlock Familia. Our director of staff bonuses is Holly Unlikely. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our retirement party planner is Luisa Jolly Goodfellow. Our Mexican food taster is Don Juan Dos Tacos. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the Euro-flinging tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And especially, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 929, dig into the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long-term.
Rule number one, never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever, our best advice, available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Ira Glass starts working on This American Resignation whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.